A small group of people had clustered round the captain, and one of them was clearly preparing to speak. He did this by standing up, clearing his throat, and then gazing off into the distance as if to signify to the crowd that he would be with them in a minute. The crowd, of course, were riveted, and all turned their eyes on him. A moment of silence followed, which Ford judged to be the right dramatic moment to make his entry. The man turned to speak. Ford dropped down out of the tree. "Hi there," he said. The crowd swiveled round.
"Ah, my dear fellow," called out the captain. "Got any matches on you, or a lighter, anything like that?"
"No," said Ford, sounding a little deflated. It wasn't what he'd prepared. He decided he'd better be a little stronger on the subject. "No, I haven't," he continued. "No matches. Instead, I bring you news."
"Pity," said the captain. "We've all run out, you see. Haven't had a hot bath in weeks."
Ford refused to be headed off. "I bring you news," he said, "of a discovery that might interest you."
"Is it on the agenda?"
snapped the man whom Ford had interrupted. Ford smiled a broad country rock singer smile. "Now come on."
"Well, I'm sorry," said the man huffily, "but speaking as a management consultant of many years' standing, I must insist on the importance of observing the committee structure."
Ford looked round the crowd. "He's mad, you know," he said. "This is a prehistoric planet."
"Address the chair," snapped the management consultant. "There isn't a chair," explained Ford. "There's only a rock."
The management consultant decided that testiness was what the situation now called for.
"Well, call it a chair," he said testily. "Why not call it a rock?" asked Ford. "You obviously have no conception," said the management consultant,
now abandoning testiness in favour of good old-fashioned hauteur,
"of modern business methods."
"And you have no conception of where you are," said Ford.
A girl with a strident voice leapt to her feet and used it.
"Shut up, you two," she said. "I want to table a motion."
"You mean bolder emotion," tittered a hairdresser.
"Order, order," yapped the management consultant. "All right," said Ford. "Let's see how you're doing."
He plonked himself down on the ground to see how long he could keep his temper. The captain made a sort of conciliatory harumphing noise.
"I would like to call to order," he said pleasantly, "the 573rd meeting of the Colonization Committee of Fintel Woodlewicks."
10 seconds, thought Ford, as he leapt to his feet again.
"This is futile," he exclaimed. 573 committee meetings, and you haven't even discovered fire yet." "If you would care," said the girl with a strident voice, "to examine the agenda sheet."
"Agenda rock,"
trilled the hairdresser happily.
"Thank you, I've made that point," muttered Ford. "You will see," continued the girl firmly, "that we are having a report from the Hairdressers Fire Development Subcommittee today."
Oh,
said the hairdresser with a sheepish look, which is recognised the whole galaxy over as meaning, will next Tuesday do?
"All right," said Ford, rounding on him. "What have you done? What are you going to do? What are your thoughts on fire development?"
"Well, I don't know," said the hairdresser. "All they gave me was a couple of sticks."
"So what have you done with them?"
Nervously, the hairdresser fished in his tracksuit top and handed over the fruits of his labour to Ford. Ford held them up for all to see.
"Curling tongs," he said.
The crowd applauded.
"Never mind," said Ford. "Rome wasn't burnt in a day."
The crowd hadn't the faintest idea what he was talking about, but they loved it nevertheless. They applauded.
"Well, you're obviously being totally naive, of course," said the girl. "When you've been in marketing as long as I have, you'll know that before any new product can be developed, it has to be properly researched. We've got to find out what people want from fire, how they relate to it, what sort of image it has for them."
The crowd were tense. They were expecting something wonderful from Ford.
"Stick it up your nose," he said. "Which is precisely the sort of thing we need to know," insisted the girl. "Do people want fire that can be fitted nasally?" "Do you?"
Ford asked the crowd.
"Yes,"
shouted some.
"No,"
shouted others happily. They didn't know. They just thought it was great.
"And the wheel," said the captain. "What about this wheel thingy? It sounds a terribly interesting project."
"Ah," said the marketing girl. "Well, we're having a little difficulty there."
"Difficulty?" exclaimed Ford.
Difficulty? What do you mean, difficulty? It's the single simplest machine in the entire universe. The marketing girl soured him with a look. All right, Mr. Wise Guy, she said. You're so clever, you tell us what colour it should be. The crowd went wild. One up to the home team, they thought.
Ford shrugged his shoulders and sat down again.
Almighty Zarquan, he said. Have none of you done anything?
As if in answer to his question, there was a sudden clamour of noise from the entrance to the clearing. The crowd couldn't believe the amount of entertainment they were getting this afternoon.